We need that. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of the people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is filled. The holy sea is its stump." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From Psalm 138, we'll read responsibly by half verse. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
The Lord God, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down before your holy temple and praise your name.
Because of your love and faithfulness.
For you have glorified your name.
And your word have called me.
When I call, you answered me.
You increase my strength within me.
All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord.
And they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord.
And praise the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly.
He perceives the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe.
You strike forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
The Lord will make good his purpose for me.
O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which in turn received, which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the twelve. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so you proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with them were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Again, really, in sort of following up on our bishop's note, and then I want you to think then about a little detail in the Gospel reading that's pretty easy to overlook, but pretty critical in terms of the way we live. First of all, let you know a little bit about myself. I was a vicar, in other words, I was in charge of a congregation at the ripe old age of 28. And I'm not entirely sure what the bishop saw that allowed him to say, "I'll entrust you with this responsibility," but he did, and I know he caught flack for it from others who said, you know, he just doesn't have enough experience to do this, and I didn't. And I had to learn with the people, not just from the people and for the people, but with them. And I had been in this congregation for, gosh, probably 10 years. I was there altogether 17. So that would have put me in my, mid-30s, something like that. And I received a correspondence in the mail. And my secretary had opened it up, and she said, it's an anonymous letter, just let you know that in advance. And sometimes clergy say, "Well, I'm not going to answer it. I'm not going to even open it. I'm not going to dignify it." But I, for some reason, let me read it. And I never will forget the contents of it. This person said, Father Bennett, you have appointed as your senior warden a person who was vice chancellor in the Diocese of Long Island. He was also black. And they said, you have appointed a black as the senior warden over many other qualified white people. And we strenuously object to that. Well, I went to the senior warden and I said, I want you to know this letter has come. And he said, you know, it hurt. But then he turned to me and he said, what are you going to do about it? And I said, I'm going to read it to the congregation. And I did. And he said to me ahead of time, if you've got enough nerve to do that, I have enough nerve to be there when you read it. And so I read this letter, and then I said, I will not tolerate this behavior. Pretty much like that. What, 35, 36 years old? But there are times when you have to stand up and you have to say, this is unacceptable. Now, the interesting thing happened from my perspective, there was a note that appeared on the bulletin board right after the 8 o'clock service. And the note said, I will be praying for the person who sent that note. Now, before I even knew it, other signatures were added. I mean, really, I think about as many signatures as we had people, I think. And I also believe that it got to the point where even the person who sent the note probably signed it. Because, you know, in a small congregation, it's pretty obvious who did and who didn't. And I think that this person decided the better part of valor was to sign on as well. There are times in our lives, and it seems increasing, unfortunately, today, when we have to say, no, that's not acceptable behavior. Now, I want to tag on back to the gospel reading. It's a great story, the story of the calling of the disciples, and it's Luke's account of that. And it's a story that others pick up, but Luke includes one detail that I think is important to know. And I don't know, for some reason, I'd never really seen it before this year. That's what happens with Scripture for me, is that all of a sudden you're reading a familiar passage and there's just something in it that jumps out at you. And you think, where have I been? But anyhow, here's the thing. It says, as they were concluding their day, they were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. And I thought, boy, that's a pretty significant thing. Because what did it signify? They pretty well had it. You don't sort of clean up in a major way like that until you reach the point where you say, well, the heck with it. It's another day and I'll just set this aside. There was practical reason why they may have sort of cleaned their nets, that when you're not catching anything, you probably have dragged the bottom with your nets and picked up all kinds of stuff all kinds of debris, all kinds of seaweed, whatever it is. And that's what they were doing. They not only hauled it all in, but they were cleaning up. Which means, by the way, not just that they were trying to tidy up, but that they'd really given up. Call it a day. Paul has a famous line where he says, "Henceforth let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." They may have said that, "Just don't bother me anymore." So they were cleaning up, and that's when Jesus called them. Now, it does occur to me that a few of you, are retired. Does that sound reasonable? A few of you have reached that point in your life where you said, I'm retired. And you said, okay, enough's enough. And I got things to do and tidying up to do. And you probably do. I do. But you know what the Lord doesn't sort of bother with that. He puts that aside and basically says to you and even to me, I got more work for you to do. One of those things is what we just talked about, what I just shared. I need you to not check out. I need you to stand up for what's right. And I need you to condemn what is wrong. I don't know if you remember what was said over you when you were baptized. I suspect many of you were baptized using what we call the old prayer book. And here's what the priest said. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I do sign you with the sign of the cross, in token that hereafter you should not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified, and manfully to fight under his banner against sin, the world, and the devil, and to continue Christ's faithful soldier and servant unto your life's end. And he added, Amen. And amen is right. There's a time to clean up the nets and say, enough's enough. I've had it. But you can't check out entirely. One of the neat things about this congregation is that many of you have heard that, know that, deep in your heart. There are certain things you've set aside, perhaps, but I've not set aside living and witnessing to what I know to be right and witnessing to the power of love. And I cannot make peace with oppression. So I don't know what that means in your life. I bet you can make those kind of connections fairly easily. But consider the possibility that taking care of the net and setting it aside and making sure it's clean for whatever might not be the order of the day. That there's still something to be done. And that you will do it with confidence and with boldness. Because you have been claimed for Christ. And you are His forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.